the last signal is pain. So we will have, it's like, we'll have this cadence, right? Of you'll wake up one day and it's a little stiff and then you keep going. And then you wake up a little further and you're like, oh, I'm getting in that. This isn't good, right? And it's uncomfortable, but it's not painful yet. And then you keep going. You don't look at it. And then one day you wake up and you can't move and you can't turn your neck because it's just bulging. And then you're calling a doctor. We're in crisis, right? Your pain, the body is saying, I told you that this was happening. You know, it's like a foreshadowing. And then when you're in pain, it's your body saying, I need to rest. I need this, you know? And we are in a hustle culture and we live in an interesting societal state where we come last, you know, or there's always something else to do. And so your body will tell you, it's like you go years without being sick and then all of a sudden you get this horrible flu and you can't get out of bed. Sometimes we need to get flus. We need to sit down, you know, we need to find that time for ourselves.
Papaya, here we go. Welcome to another episode of Transform Your Future with me, Eddie Eisen, where we sit down with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and high achievers as they identify areas I can improve on and guide me to further my self-improvement practice. Together, we look at practical applications and ways to improve current systems and processes and stay focused on my mission. These are honest, open conversations designed to transform your future. For more information and monthly topics of interest, please go to transformyourfuture.com and join our newsletter. Our guest today is Beth Neusser, certified yoga therapist and sound therapy practitioner. She has a passion for holistic healing and a deep clinical background in understanding trauma. Beth guides children, adolescents, and adults on their journey towards inner peace and transformation. Beth's work is deeply informed by her own life experiences in the field of yoga, somatic movement, and working with hundreds of clients. She combines ancient wisdom with modern science to create personalized healing experiences that are evidence-based. Her work nurtures the body, mind, and soul. Specializing in trauma-informed yoga therapy, Beth brings a compassionate and empathetic approach to her practice. Beth specializes in anxiety and depression, addiction, trauma, and PTSD, relationship issues, mood disorders, eating disorders, autism spectrum disorders. Beth is trained as a trauma-informed yoga therapist with clinical experiences in CBT, ACT, and DBT approaches. Whether you're struggling with a lingering effects of trauma or seeking relief from chronic pain or simply looking to deepen your connection to self, Beth is here to support you on your journey towards wholeness and well-being. Together, let's embark on a transformative journey of self-discovery, healing, and empowerment. You deserve to thrive, and Beth is here to help us do just that. So welcome, Beth.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about what you do and, about your yoga practice and how it's very helpful, even like we were talking earlier about me just doing some darn breath work to get centered.
Yeah, no. So, it's been an interesting journey getting to this part of my life. So I can start with, I've been practicing yoga for well over a decade personally. And prior to me stepping into this next space in my life, I was a hairstylist for 25 years and also an entrepreneur with my husband. We started a clothing line that roots were in the mixed martial arts industry in 2006. So I've lived a couple of different lifetimes before moving into this next journey. And when I started, I always say yoga found me. And that I didn't find yoga. And I was on a trip with a girlfriend in Mexico about 15, 16 years ago. And she said, you know, what do you want to do on, you know, when we go to Cabo? And I said, I just want to do yoga by the water. And she was like, okay, done. So the first time I did yoga was in Mexico at a hotel at a resort. And we did yoga every day and it was absolutely incredible. And I thought, when I get back home, I'm gonna start doing this. So I found this yoga studio and it was a hot yoga at the time. And I started going and I didn't enjoy it at first because hot yoga is a different type of style. But what I know is that if you try something at least 7 times, you'll know if it's for you or if you need to switch it up and try something else. So I did it 7 times. And on that 7th class, I had, I would say you'd maybe call it like a spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. And I had this experience in my body and spiritually in my mind. And I just felt incredible leaving class. And I thought, this, there's something here, you know, there's something different. It's not just the breath or the movement. There's a deeper connection. And so if you fast forward from then until now, I just kept diving into my practice and just really learning more about myself spiritually, emotionally. When yoga found me, I was going through some of my own mental health struggles. It really brought me clarity and it was really helping me through things that I was going through. So my husband and I and our kids, we moved to this house 4 years ago. And then I found this yoga studio down the street. And I went in for a candlelight restorative yoga. And very long story short, I found out they had a teacher training. And I jumped in like feet first. And I got my 200 hour. And I hit the ground running. It was like my calling had really set in. And for the next year, I finished my 200 hour during the pandemic, which was really interesting. And so everything shut down towards the end of my training and everything moved to internet. And a lot of people were so resistant of what that felt like and what it looked like. And I thrived, you know, I had background being on camera and doing interviews and all the things through Fight Chicks really set me up for the success of moving onto a, you know, virtual platform. And so from my 200 hour, everything became online, everything became virtual and I learned better that way. And so then I thought, well, I want to take this a step further. So I became a registered children, yoga teacher. So I had my RCYT after my 200 hour and that was from a trauma informed perspective. And then that's when things really started kind of opening up. There's more layers to that. And I thought, I didn't even realize that there was a trauma type of yoga. And that was something I really gravitated to for a lot of different reasons. And from there, then I grew to my 500 hour and then decided not to stop and go to the highest level, which is to become a certified yoga therapist because I wanted to be in a space that was set myself different from just teaching, you know, and maybe I should rephrase that, not just teaching, but from being, I really wanted to come from a therapeutic standpoint. So that might be a long answer to your question, but I think it's important to give space of where I, you know, where I started and kind of where I'm at now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a spiritual journey for yourself, this whole process. So tell me a little bit about, I know I have certain things that, you know, you've touched on that I think are very interesting. So, as a therapist, as a certified therapist, how is it that yoga and, the process works for, releasing traumas and helping to overcome traumas?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I really started to unfold in this space from that trauma-informed perspective was I'd been working at a women's residential center for the last 2 years. And working with women with such complex trauma and complex cases, you know, we would say they have a variety of different things. So an example would be maybe an adolescent who has, you know, a substance use diagnosis on top of, you know, PTSD from some sort of, you know, traumatic event or events. And maybe they have some eating disorder. And so, you know, you have like all these layers of different things on the case. And so how I step into that is, one, the biggest thing is developing therapeutic rapport. If you can't feel safe with your practitioner, whether it's myself, you know, a licensed therapist, you know, doctors, things like that, if there isn't a safe connection, you really can't do the work. And so once that's established, then you start to, there's an assessment that I'll put my cases through my clients. And what I do is I work off the chakras. There's seven chakras in the body. They're the energy systems. And from every layer, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, cellularly, everything is stored in those chakras. Chiropractors use it. They call them the meridians. Tomato, tomato, they're the same thing. And so what I do is I do an assessment and then I look to see what chakras have imbalances. And then I'll ask specific questions. A lot of it has some intuition with it. And then I'll ask them. And then when they're safe space, they will start to unravel. And then you kind of see this like this timeline, and then you start to pull from it, like a therapist would. And then you connect them, right? You connect this thread, so to speak. And then you see, okay, let's say they had a sexual trauma, right? Let's say they were sexually assaulted. Most of the time, that lies in your sacral chakra, your second chakra. And so from there, we will work on: are you having, you know, some discomfort in your hips? Are you having lower back pain? Is there this nagging at your system that's saying, heal, help me, talk to me? So a lot of it's that somatic, and everyone is different. I could use visualization. I could do sound bowls with them. We could do some specific stretches. Maybe we go into a guided journey. There's, you know, then there's some physical type of techniques we can do. Honestly, every single person is different. In yoga therapy, it's tailored to meet the person where they're at. You're treating the whole person, and it's a completely individualized approach.
I'm remembering, you know, this is back to this idea that everything that happens to us, we have it affects us physically in our body in some way, right?
Yes.
And so you work to figure out with the client what's the areas that they need to work on, what are those things that happen, those traumatic experiences, and then get them to open up about those things and then try to find out where it's coming from and then what they could release it?
Yeah. So the beauty about the way that I approach my clients in yoga therapy is I meet them exactly where they are. So what that looks like is when you go to another therapist, they want to know more history. And I don't necessarily need to know history. If they choose to open up, that's beautiful. And I love that, but they don't have to. Everything is from an invitational perspective for me, which is from that trauma-informed background and training that I provide the space. We talk about things. And then whatever they want to discuss or disclose with me is what happens. And most of the time, they'll feel so safe and natural that those things unfold. So maybe it's not from childhood. Maybe it's from a month ago. You know, maybe they're grieving the loss of something in their life in the last year, but that grief is still connected to something, right? We have these little like dots that we kind of put together. And so what I do is I ask them, you know, what we together, we work on a treatment plan and the goals of maybe they just say, I just want to be more flexible. But what they're not realizing is that they're so tight in that space because their fascia is so constricted And so, you know, if you hear the term, the body takes the count, right? Takes score. And so there's evidence, right, that when we have experiences, that your body takes the score and it holds it at a cellular level. So he or she might say, well, I just want to be more flexible in that area. But maybe they're in a car accident on that right side and they were T-boned, and that right hamstring, that hip, you know, that muscle is really like not the same. And so what do we do from a physical standpoint, an emotional standpoint? What do we do to, you know, to work on that area? Mm-hmm. So it's just all different.
Yeah, I suffer from chronic pain from my back and neck. I have all kinds of problems in there. I've had multiple procedures and been avoiding major surgery for 20-something years because I don't want to have screws rolling around in my neck or my back, right?
Yeah.
But I think that possibly I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm thinking, I think this could be a good thing for me to start practicing. And to help me to manage my physical disability and problems and pains that I have all day, and learn to function a little bit better.
Yeah, I think the last signal that the body says to us, the last signal is pain. So we will have it's like we'll have this cadence, right, of you'll wake up one day and it's a little stiff, and then you keep going. And then you wake up a little further and you're like, oh, I'm getting a knot. This isn't good. Right. And it's uncomfortable, but it's not painful yet. And then you keep going. You don't look at it. And then one day you wake up and you can't move and you can't turn your neck because it's just bulging. And then you're calling a doctor. We're in crisis, right? Your pain, the body is saying, I told you that this was happening. You know, it's like a foreshadowing. And then when you're in pain, it's your body saying, I need to rest. I need this, you know. And we are in a hustle culture, and we live in an interesting societal state where we come last, you know, or there's always something else to do. And so your body will tell you, it's like you go years without being sick, and then all of a sudden you get this horrible flu and you can't get out of bed. Sometimes we need to get flus. We need to sit down, you know, we need to find that time for ourselves.
Yeah. We end up in these situations. I like to say sometimes God does for me what I'm not able to do for myself in those situations, right? Gives me that opportunity that I wouldn't give myself.
Yeah. I always say make time for your wellness or sit in your illness. You choose.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Make time for your wellness or sit in your illness. I got to remember that one.
Yep.
That's a nugget for you right there.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I'm interested to know more about the process that you take your clients through in order for them to get in touch with these different areas and release whatever is hurting them and center themselves. Is that right words for
what you're doing? Yeah. So when I see a client, I send them over a couple of different forms. One of them I was speaking to a little bit ago was the chakra assessment form. And so there's a variety of questions that are related to all those chakras. And then what I do is I go in and there's like a scoring system. And then I'll go in and score it. And then I'll see, okay, let's say, you know, your first chakra is your root chakra. And let's say that's at a 13. And then we'll go to the sacral chakra, which is the second. And then let's say that one's at a 20. And I'll be like, that's interesting. And then I'll go into the next one, which is solar plexus, the third. And then I'll see that one's a 25. And then I'll go into the heart chakra and I'll see that one's a 10. And then keep going, right? So if that's a 10, throat chakra, let's say that's a let's say this one's like a 26, right? And let's say third eye, which is the six, is a 20. And let's say the crown is a 22. So I'll look at that. And what the scoring tells me, the data, you know, from the information tells me is that their root chakra is, it's a little imbalanced and it needs some work. But then the second chakra is a higher number. So that's healthy. So maybe, you know, there's some, you know, but they're still in balance, right? Because root, we always want a higher score because that's our foundation. So I always say, when you build a house, if you don't have a basement, everything is going to crumble on top, right? You have to have that foundation, that stability. But if the lowest score is, let's say, the heart, there's something going on here, you know? And so this is information. And so the way that I approach it is I look at the least, so if there's a, if the heart is at a nine and the solar is higher, and then there's that imbalance in the root, I'll say, okay, if there's a forest fire, you don't run right in with water, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to get burned. So what you have to do is you have to slowly inch your way around and then condense it, you know, to stop the fire, right? To stop the outbreak. And so what I'll do is I'll look and see, and I'll look at questions and I'll see how they answered them. And then I'll ask them to unpack that a little deeper, you know, and I'll say, you know, this question right here, you hold a lot of grief in your heart. Can you speak more to that? And then we start to process. And then from there, you know, I start to learn more about them just from these questions. I just had a new client the other day, and we didn't even get to the chakra assessment yet. It was just five questions of, how often do you feel pain in your body? And they wrote down every day. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And she's like, yeah, my, you know, my hips and this and that. And then she told me about, you know, the labor of, you know, giving birth to their child 4 years ago. And I was like, was it traumatic? And she's like, no, not really. And she starts telling me more about the story. And I was like, the details she gave me, I was like, that's traumatic. What happened? But her nervous system, her trauma response was different and she couldn't see it. So I thought just from this one question, I was able to get so much information about what's going on with her to be able to assist and meet her where she's at.
So. Beth, when you were talking about the numbers for that, where do those numbers come from? Is that me scoring it for myself to you?
Or? Yeah. So sometimes clients will go in and they'll just score it themselves and then they'll send it over. And sometimes they'll just answer the questions and then I'll see the scoring system. So there is a book that is part of our required reading through yoga therapy from the school that I went to. And in this book is the assessment. And so, it's so helpful. And so that is what I use. I think I edited some of the questions a little differently. But pretty much in the same framework. Mm-hmm. But it's been so helpful. So.
Yeah, I'm interested in all of this because I read this book, a while ago, that it wasn't about yoga, but it was on the periphery of those ideas because it was about releasing the chakras in your body. Mm-hmm. The focus of the book was about extending your life and mm-hmm. rejuvenating yourself. This is something that I focus a lot of my attention and energy on is because I want to live a very long time and be very healthy and be very vital in my life. And this book is called The Fountain of Youth. And it uses those principles that, you know, you have these chakras in your body. And so mm-hmm. every day you exercise these, mm-hmm. I think it's six areas. And then if you really, really wanted to live a very long time and be very, very happy in your life and be well, then you would abstain from any sexual activity because
oh, wow.
That's the biggest energy that you could focus on and use internally, right? So it's just an interesting thing. But
that again, is interesting.
Again, this is the only education I have about chakras and understanding these things. And this is also why I think, you know, it's kind of interesting about yoga and using that as a process to center myself for spirituality, for getting in touch with my body and who I am and living in my body, you know, and all those other benefits of being able to release whatever trauma, pain I'm holding on to, because I don't want to hold on to it. Why should I want to hold on to it? I want to release it, right?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting stuff. So how do I get started?
I always say the best thing you could do to get started is starting with breath work. Hmm. So that is, you know, it's all we have, right? It's our life force. And so we talk about it within our teachings. It's, working on from the Sanskrit, it's our prana. That energy, and then pranayama, which is the breath, the energy with the breath. And so it's the first thing we have when we come into this world, and it's the last thing we have as we exit. And I think that sometimes we are forgetting to just breathe. Mm. And so a lot of the teachings I'll use for myself and with my clients is like a counting breath, whether that's a box breathing or a regulating breath. It's just the same. You count up. So you have something to focus on. Because if you just breathe, you're going to look around and you're like, okay, when can I be done with this? But if you have something to focus on, whether it's a mantra or it's a counting breath, you have that connection with the mind and body. So I would say first breath. Second would be some sort of meditation, even if it's for 5 minutes. And I could give you some pointers on some resources that have been really helpful for myself and what I give everybody else. That Yoga Nidra, I could talk about that all day long. That is the most incredible yoga that every single person on this planet should try, or at least do at least 3 times a week. Mm. So,
I would like to know more about that, because I mean, breath work is something I do all the time.
Okay.
Meditation, I do that daily several times during the day.
Okay.
And I've been practicing that a very, very long time.
Good.
And I love it. And it's so helpful to me.
Good.
But what was the name of that yoga again? I'm sorry.
It's called Yoga Nidra. Nidra. Yeah. NIDRA. It's also referred to as non-sleep deep rest. And who is it? It's another podcaster. Huberman.
Mm-hmm.
It's his first name.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. He talks.
I think it's Andrew, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He talks a lot about it. When my husband heard it, he was like, babe, you're never going to believe this. And I was like, I've been talking about this forever, but you know, sometimes people have to receive it differently, and that's okay.
Yes, yes.
So Yoga Nidra, also referred to as non-sleep deep rest. The military has adapted this type of meditation, and because it is clinically and scientifically proven to help reverse PTSD effects, especially in, our veterans. And wow. So I really, really honed in on it. I had a surgery about 2.5 years ago, and I couldn't move my body for almost 18 weeks. Wow. Now, for someone who's practices yoga daily and like it's part of my lifeline, I was like, what am I going to do? So I found Yoga Nidra on YouTube through this wonderful, amazing yogi. Her name is Ali Boothroyd. And she has the most amazing voice, so soothing, and she's got all of these free videos on YouTube. So I started doing Yoga Nidra because even though it's not a form of moving your body, there is this, you know, this science behind the fact that it's a type of meditation where the person who's facilitating it, they call in different points of the body. And so, you know, regardless of how long the meditation is, like I listen to a 2-hour one to go to sleep almost every night, because what happens is that when you get into this, they call it the theta delta state. When you get into this brainwave state, it is truly proven the most healing effects that the body and the mind can ever experience is in that state. You can heal so many different things. And when you are in that state, mother, let's say it's for 15 minutes, that's equivalent to, you know, a 30 to 45 minute nap. When you're in that state for an hour, it's equivalent to like 4 hours of sleep, because it's just this deep, deep state. And it's hard to get into that, you know? So I always recommend for everybody to try out Yoga Nidra. And it can be a little scattered at first, you know, because they're telling you to focus on your eyes and your nose and, you know, different points of those of the body. So.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
These devices.
That's okay.
Make noises.
Yeah. That's why we have to turn them off.
Yes. And still they have to make bzz, bzz.
Yeah. So yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Please continue.
Oh, that's
about,
okay.
About it. Yeah. Yeah.
So the Yoga Nidra, you know, is something that I speak to, and that's one of the main interventions and therapeutic techniques that I'll use with clients. When I worked in the clinical setting at the residential center, I did that every day. I'll start off with that, and then I'll end with sound meditation, so that your nervous system is primed, so that it can receive more healing through, you know, the bowls. And so those are the things I, you know, if you're already doing breath work and you're already doing meditation, try Yoga Nidra. And then after that, start doing just a basic like sun salutation, you know, and you can, there's lots of, you know, there's lots of stuff online, right? And so you can just do like a very gentle flow, and you could just be standing, you know, and you do a flow coming up, going down, and, you know, that way you're not feeling intimidated or pressured about doing more yoga poses. You could just take it like super light.
The nidra, the yoga nidra, is that guided? Is that a guide? So you listen to something to start the process for you?
Correct. I have a 5-minute one that I've recorded that's on YouTube that I can send you. I always say start off with something like, you know, something realistic versus just jumping into a 30-minute. Start off with that 5 to 7 minute, which is like a good sweet spot, and then kind of build from there. And do it at least 7 times so that you can understand. Our mind is going to take us other places, right? It's hard to focus. And so give it a couple of times before you know if it's not for you or not. So
I'm going to definitely start practicing that. I've been aware of some of these ideas, and I've tried to practice them actually in different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard sometimes to gauge your success.
Yeah.
If you're doing it, like, how do I know that I'm actually healing something or not healing something, you know, by doing this over several days or a week or whatever? What kind of ideas do you have about that?
Do you journal? Do you do any journaling?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So anytime you, this is a good point. So the concept and the framework of yoga therapy is that you allow your clients to start bringing in and incorporating good habits. Everything is habitual, same time every day, for a certain amount of time. And then you kind of like add on from there. And so I always say, you know, if you don't journal or you do journal, get something dedicated, write down the date, write down the time that you're going to start bringing in this new habit, whatever that looks like for them, and write it down, and then write down like what emotion you're feeling from 1 to 10, or maybe a word, and then track yourself, right? So when you're charting something and you're collecting that data, you can go back and say, huh, I felt like my, you know, I felt this way to 3 on when I started this on Monday. And then you go to the next week and let's say now you're already at a 6 and you're allowing yourself to see the proof is in the pudding, right? Mm-hmm. And you're able to see this is actually helping me. Or maybe it's doing the opposite. So it's information. And when we have information, it helps us to be able to make better decisions for ourselves.
Interesting. So tracking everything, and seeing where your head's at. So that's a great way for anybody to start working on breath work, meditation, and nidra, yoga nidra, to start out to get the benefits of it. And then from there, as you mentioned, not being too hard on myself, but starting some kind of practice of learning some of the poses and taking it slow, and then adding more positions on as time goes on.
Yes. Yep. You start off with, we hold such like high expectations for ourselves, right? So we want, as humans, like we on Earth, we have an ecosystem. It's how we get up and do the things that we do. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that can go a little too high, and that story, that critic, everything starts to set in and you're like, okay, I'm going to go do this. And you gas out. It's not realistic. And so just like a personal trainer, a nutritionist, like, you know, people I've worked with, like just little small adjustments, big rewards in the body, the mind, your space, your family, everything. Right. So if you can just make these small adjustments and then keep, you know, almost like titration, right. And then you can start to see those rewards, because otherwise you're just setting yourself up for failure, right? You want to set yourself up to be successful. And how you do that is you start in one area and you just, you know, so it's like 5 minutes of meditation. Okay, I could do this. And then all of a sudden a month later, you're like, I love the meditation. And now I'm ready to do something else, because otherwise you're just going to fall off the wagon. It's like a diet, right? So,
Yeah, you don't want to make things hard on yourself. Exactly. I my meditation practice, by the way, I had the total wrong idea about what meditation was when I was younger. And as I practice it more and talk to other people about their practice and read books about it and everything, I found that it's actually like really easy and wide open. Like, I remember one guy was talking about, you know, when he washes the dishes, he focuses on the soap in his fingers and the feeling of the plate and the water running over his hands and the plate. And this is a form of meditation.
Yes.
Right? It's about focus, right? So, you know, it's interesting. And of course, focusing on breathing. One thing I could tell you is that my practice for many years now has gotten me to a place where I would say that I don't pay attention to the critic. I mean, there's still a critic in there. I hear it every once in a while. It's low.
Yeah.
It's kind of low. And I hear it once in a while, but I just go like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And I just don't let it affect me.
That's good, though. You're in that, we would call that like almost like in a, like a yogi mindset, right? Is that you have this way to detach from that. That you're not connected to it anymore, that it doesn't have power over you.
Yes.
And I love that you used the example of the washing of the hands, and like that, you know, it's important for people to know too, who listen to this, that I always say that meditation looks different for everybody. Maybe walking in nature is your meditation. Maybe washing your hands and, you know, that sensory, right? That you see the soap foaming, you're washing the plate. Like there is this, you know, ritual about it. Mm-hmm. And so, find what works for you. Maybe journaling is your meditation. Maybe, you know, it just looks different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So from, you know, not the traditional, like, okay, I'm going to lay down in bed, I'm going to put my headphones, you know, mm-hmm. it's like a whole thing that yeah. might be, that's my meditation, but yeah, also yeah. nature. Nature yeah. is my meditation too. Listening when I was and not younger, talking.
When I was younger, transcendental meditation somehow had a big cultural movement that was going on back in the late 60s, early 70s. And so when I was first introduced to these ideas would be helpful for me to grow and to better myself in my practice of personal development, I thought of transcendental meditation. That's what I thought of. I was going to go, oh, nom no renge kyo, you know, that's what I thought it mm-hmm. was, you know, burning incense and, you know, sitting in a certain pose yeah. and position. And I came to find out that that was just one way that people do yeah. it, but it's not the only way. And there's lots of other ways. And the main thing is to quiet the mind. That's yeah. the main thing is to get the best example description I heard is it's not about stopping thinking. It's just about going 10 feet below the thinking, like mm-hmm. the thinking's like the waves crashing on the ocean. And yes. you go 10 feet below where mm-hmm. the water's calm. The water's mm-hmm. calm down here. Up there, it's still crashing crazy, but you just go down below it. So, yeah. you know, those kinds of things were very helpful to me, and I think helpful to everybody. So, yeah, know, that's awesome. That's awesome. So we've got some synchronicity going on over here.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I want to know more. Absolutely. I want to start practicing some more. So, yeah. and this... this practice, I know you work with a lot of different people. Do you want to talk about some of your specialty? Like, I know you mentioned you even work with autistic children who are on the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a little one who is 5. He'll be 6 next month. And he was diagnosed autism, you know, autistic spectrum disorder level 3. He was nonverbal for a very, very long time. And we used sign language as a way to be able to communicate with him. And then that was when he was around 2. And then when he turned 4, he was able to start talking, which was pretty incredible through all the therapies he's went through. And so I'm a big believer of things happening, you know, for reasons. They're very purposeful. And so when I went on this yoga journey for myself, it became not just for me anymore. Everything that I have learned has been through this life experience of, you know, this little person coming unexpectedly into our lives. And so, you know, he just has helped me see through the world in a different type of lens. And then me being able to tend to him in a way and learn from him. Our children, I believe, are teachers. Some of them are harder teachers than others. And so he's really allowed me to do such great work in my expertise now because of being able to be an advocate and provider for him and parent him. So a lot of the work that I'm doing now is with children. So I work in the school districts, and I'm an independent contractor. So I kind of do a lot of gig working, which allows flexibility so that I can still be able to do the things that I need to do for our son and myself. So yeah, so a lot of the work that I'm doing is with children at this point. So I still have my clients. I work at one place is called Evoke Counseling. It's in near me. It's in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. And so I see clients there a couple days a week. And then on Tuesdays, I work at Valley View School District. And that has been amazing. I developed this pilot program called the Mindful Movement Minutes. And so what I do is I go into the classrooms and I'm there as extra support, and I'm teaching mindfulness and yoga and breath work to elementary students. And
that's awesome.
It is really amazing. And then this month I got an extra, a grant came through in another district, and I've been working with sixth and seventh graders the past 2 weeks. And, it's been incredible. Like, I wish I had this when I was that age, like to be, you know, and these kids, you know, the sixth and seventh graders, like, it's so awkward, you know, at that stage of their life and developmental that they're like, we're doing yoga. And then like afterwards, they're like, that was amazing. Thank you so much. Mm. And everything I teach them, there's evidence behind it. So when we're doing our movement, we're doing our poses, it's, you know, I can say, do this before a test. And if you are, you know, having, you know, brain fog or brain fart during like your homework or something, get up and do these torso twists, and it balances the right and left hemispheres of your brain, and go into your star power pose, because science has shown that when you go into this pose, you're 75% more likely to bring in confidence and do better. You know, like Amy Cuddy did a TED talk on it, and it's real. You go into a power pose and it's real. There's evidence behind what I'm teaching, and it's exciting, you know, and even just like finger taps. When you do it, you actually realize that you don't think about anything else except tapping your fingers. Mm. Everything goes out the window because you have that mindful connection. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. I have a really great job. So
that's great. That's great. Yeah. Very rewarding. Very rewarding. Right?
It is. Yeah. I mean, working with that population, it could be incredibly tiring at times. You know, working with kids, they're just like little squirrels running around everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it is rewarding. Something that I have coming up, which is exciting, I'm doing a free virtual event for parents. So it's about cultivating calm in the chaos, and what we can do for ourselves, how we can help our children, and teaching them in that hour. It's through the Autism Chicago Network, and being able to just give back everything I've learned, you know, for free to parents. And being a parent of a child on the spectrum, I can speak to this. I live it every day. I'm not a doctor or provider coming in, you know, kind of selling my stuff, you know, selling my
experience.
Yeah. And I think that gives some street cred for sure. You know, that they're like, oh man, she gets it, you know? Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So what are the, what is the thing that you really want to leave the audience with, that you want them to really understand about you and what you do?
Yeah. So, you know, I thought about that a lot as one of the questions that you said that we would kind of talk about. And if anybody who truly knows me, if I ever want anybody to leave a conversation, whether it's at a restaurant, on a podcast, you know, a phone call, I preach self-care like nobody will. It is our lifeline. It is something that, anytime anyone talks about something going on in their lives, my first question is, what can you do for yourself today? How are you taking care of yourself today? What can you bring in, even if it's for 5 minutes? What does your self-care look like? And I know that, you know, we see that all over the internet lately, like, this is my self-care and self-care, you know, and I feel like it's kind of being, drowned down a little bit. And I think just if anyone could listen or a takeaway would be, you know, the old saying of your oxygen mask first. And mm-hmm. we have, you know I'm 43, and there's a conditioning of me, you know, growing up in the generation of that my kids come first, or this comes first, mm-hmm. and, you know, my job mm-hmm. comes first, and, you know, everything now, and then mm-hmm. I'll take the beating, right? And so I've had to relearn those trends that shouldn't be, because if I don't fill my cup, there's nothing left. And I am doing mm-hmm. disservice not only to myself, to my children, to my husband, to my clients, to my community. So what does that look like? And how are you putting that into your daily and weekly practice? And really just emphasizing that you have to do those things because you want to live a long life. You want to do all of these things. You want to travel. If you do not tend to the emotional needs of yourself, that won't happen.
Exactly. Yes, you can go travel anywhere you want, but it'll all be the same if you don't take care of yourself. Yes.
Yeah, like when people say, oh, I don't like this house anymore, or this is that, I need a bigger home. Well, if you can move into a bigger house, that's great, but you're going to take the same luggage and energy with you mm-hmm. in that house. Yeah. It might aesthetically look different for a period of time, but you'll start to notice after the first 30, 60 days, you're going to feel exactly the same. It doesn't matter if you have 7 more closets. Are you going to put all the baggage in those 7 closets? So we have to make time. And what does that look like? It's needed. It's so imperative that we find that's why I teach pretty much only restorative yoga in my events now with sound meditation, because I want to remind people that it's okay to relax, that it's okay to just hold a pose and you don't have to move or do all these things. Mm-hmm. You know, I love being able to give back with that.
I know that we've just covered a lot of ground and we went over a lot mm-hmm. of stuff, and I really value your time and thank you for sharing with me. But I did want to ask you, what are some of the main misconceptions that people have about yoga and the practices of yoga therapy?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the time, when I say I'm a yoga therapist, it doesn't really register with people right away. They immediately think yoga teacher. And I also am, you know, a yoga instructor as well. The area and the framework that I work in is with yoga therapy is that, and the difference of those is that it's an individualized approach, and there's certain, it's a therapeutic application. It also has integration into the healthcare system. So I'm working with healthcare professionals and other providers, you know, that it has a clinical background. And so I'm working directly with a care team at times, and in really addressing a lot of the emotional well-being, the mental health aspects of things, diagnoses. So yoga instruction and yoga teaching is focusing on breath, cueing, poses, you know, going through a style of flow, things like that. It's not as integrated. And so those are the type of things are the difference. With yoga teaching, you're going to go to a class and you're going to have an instructor and it's a group. And then with yoga therapy, it's more individualized. Most of the time it's one-on-one. You could do yoga therapy. However, again, it's that individualized approach. You're digging deeper. You have therapeutic application and, you know, having that healthcare principles.
Very good. And if somebody, if anybody listening is interested in finding out more about what you're doing, maybe get some of that individualized therapeutic attention, how would they do that?
So they could go to my website. It's BethNewsermyName.com, and there's a little contact button. And if you would like to, if you're interested to explore and learn more, that I'm happy to do a free 30-minute consultation and kind of see if we're a good fit and what some areas you want to work on and, you know, go from there.
Excellent. Beth, thank you so much for your time. I know we've talked a lot and I've asked you a lot of questions. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to close with?
I don't think so. Actually, yes. So in the beginning, when we were off camera, you were telling me about papaya, right?
Yes.
Am I saying that right?
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
So my papaya is oming. It's how I start practice and how I end practice, because when you om, you know, we're collectively uplifting on an energy level, individually and with ourselves. And then from a science standpoint, it stimulates the vagus nerve, which helps you move into that rest and digest. You're in that safe parasympathetic state. So you're in that, you know, that calm, neutral setting. So I would love to finish our podcast if you would like to own with me. Are you down?
I would love to. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So I'll guide us through it. So just get comfortable, kind of rock in your seat a little bit. Okay. And maybe just kind of roll your shoulders out. Roll your shoulders out. There you go. Okay. Awesome. And then we're going to end. We'll sweep our arms up overhead. Yep. There you go. Bring your palms to meet like in a prayer symbol. Yep. Take a big breath in. And exhale, bring your hands to your heart space. And then you rub your palms together. So this grounds us. And you can find a soft focus or you can close your eyes. And we're going to do one inhale and exhale to empty our breath. And on the second breath, we'll om together. So we'll breathe in. Breathe out. And we'll breathe in for om. And then we bring our thumb knuckles to our third eye, the space between the eyebrows. Thank you so much for having me on today. It's always an honor and a privilege. The light and the love in me sees and honors the light and the love in you. From my heart to yours.
Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
What a great way to end.
Yep. Giving you just, you know, just like completion, right? So, yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed it.
We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks.
For more information and monthly topics of interest, please go to transformyourfuture.com and join our newsletter.